So coming yesterday, I came in my own car, which when I bought it, God did a miracle for me. I bought it brand new. My dear friend Yinka drove. Good enough, we blew the filter of the AC the day before. So if you enter my car now, the AC can freeze a drink for you to drink. No, I'm not joking. If your AC, your drink is hot, enter my car, put on the AC. Just put your drink near the vent. Put it on middle. Come back in 5 minutes, your drink will be cold. So I leaned back as we're coming. Yinka told me a story. I said, Yinka, you can see I'm not listening to you. Because I'm going to preach. So he said, okay, sorry, sir. So he shut his mouth up. I lay down there and relaxed. I was meditating to come and preach. When I got here, I relaxed. I will do it. I did it yesterday, today, this morning. I'll do it in the evening. Tomorrow morning, I'll preach again. Enter the same car, relax, and drive back to Enugu while my spirit is being cooled with good air conditioning. Then I'll come down there again and preach. And I've done it many times. Remember when we went to preach in the church in Benin? I finished preaching by 1 o'clock. In fact, he had turned the car. It's my other car we used that time. That one is big. It's a big Jeep. He had turned the car. Everything was ready. I just finished preaching. Yinka, let's go. 1 o'clock, we left Benin. We got to Enugu 5 dot. Before I could go and turn to park, I jumped down, ran across the road, climbed up to Kingdom World Office, collected the microphone, and said, praise the Lord. I started again. If I had to go and wait for a bus, it won't happen. How would I do that? The bus first used 2 hours to load. Who get this box? 500 naira for your load. And then it's going on the road. By the time I get to where I'm going, I'm worn out. I will need to sleep so that I can live long. That is why some people fly private jets. Because my private car is a private jet for some people. I hope you know that. In the same way, some people are high in their services, not their enjoyment. They need the private jet. WAFBEC is West African Faith Believers Convention, organized by Covenant Christian Center, yearly in Lagos. The man, one of the people who came to preach last time, is an American preacher. What is his name now? Bill Winston, thank you. Bill Winston was supposed to preach in Lagos. He said as soon as he came out from church preaching in America, he drove straight to the airport, entered his private jet and told the pilot, Nigeria. The pilot said, we have not yet gotten the clearance to enter Nigerian airspace. He said, don't worry, be going. That one tried to use style. He said, let us go here and fuel. So that, he said, the pilot tried to use style to waste time. So that the clearance to enter Nigerian airspace will come. That clearance did not come until, how many minutes before they enter Nigerian airspace? 19 minutes. In case you do not know, flight from US to America, the shortest is like 10 hours straight. It's probably like an 11-hour flight straight from America. Why? He had to get to Lagos because he had to preach. If he had to go to the airport, maybe he should go to Atlanta airport. You know what I'm talking about. The queue, eh? There's no way he will preach that day or the next day, or maybe the following day. Because he first connects from where he is to another place, wait, and then plane will go. Then you queue up. This one, he just entered his plane, just to the pilot. Oh, yeah, Lagos. Pilot said, okay, the clearance hasn't come. He said, don't worry, just be going. He said, he was praying. He said, he went to sleep, so he couldn't worry. He said to sleep. 19 minutes before they entered Nigerian airspace, they got the signal that the clearance had been granted. Poo entered Nigeria, landed. He came down, they picked him, went to his hotel, freshened up so he can preach. For those who don't have that money, say, hey, is that necessary? Listen. One day, I was discussing with my mother. My mother has had to learn this lesson listening to me. And my younger sister, they came to visit. My mother will be 76 this year. She said, what you have said is true, Joe. It's true. She said, one day, we were in Akure to wait for the GO. Oh, no, Owo. That's my hometown, Owo, in Ondo State. He said, we waited and waited and waited and waited, waited till night. Finally, when it was getting late, all of us entered our cars and drove back to... We went back home. He said, why? Because the GO was held by a hold up on the road. GO was coming from Lagos. There was hold up, all those ones. There was hold up. Since he was inside the car, and the spirit refused to do him like he did, is it Philip? The man waited, and the program planned in a stadium that the whole town had gathered for. The man didn't show up. He was inside Goslow. So my mother said, now I understand why he needed a private jet. I love Americans. You know, Nigerians' poverty will be saying that, what is in a private jet? That's what he's doing with private jet. If it's Americans, he won't even go to the airport. You know, they will build the airstrip in Redemption Camp. It just is Nigeria. If it's America, the airstrip will be built in Redemption Camp. So his plane will be taken off from there. So that next time you plan a major program in the Owerri Stadium, you now hear that the man got held up at Onitsha because there he goes though. You know what somebody will now say? Why didn't he come the day before? How can he come the day before? When the day before is in Abeokuta? How can he come the day before? When the day before he's in Botswana? When the Bishop Oyedepo said, this was long ago, he went to preach in East Africa. He wanted to get back home. They told him that the plane is not coming today, it will come tomorrow. Then the plane will first carry him to Addis Ababa. Then from Addis Ababa, he will get a connecting flight to Lagos. He looked, me. I will stay in, I don't know whether Tanzania or Kenya or whatever, and be doing what for the next 2 days? I won't get back to Lagos for like 3 days. No ministry, just jumping from plane to plane. He said, pick the phone, call Lagos. Told Bishop Abe, charter a plane, come and get me out of here. He told Abe, charter a plane, come and get me out of here. Abe gave instructions, they chartered a plane, flew straight to where he was, Oga, enter. They locked the plane, turned around, went back to Lagos. Come and preach. He said, one day we're supposed to have a program in Abuja. One of the people organizing. They had planned for this program for a long time. Papa is coming. Bishop is coming. Last minute, Bishop was so, he was so choked up in Lagos. He called Bishop Abiy and said, please, can you tell that young man, that's the pastor of the church, that please, I won't be able to make it. He said, Abiy begged him and said, sir, this young man never asks us for anything. All he ever does is give and all of that. This is the only favor he's ever asked for. Please, sir, whatever you need to do, please come. Say Bishop looked, what will he do? Just went to the airport, tell the pilot, yeah, let's go. The pilot, of course, that's the way it is, took him, landed in Abuja, turned the plane, left the engine on, was waiting. Bishop left the airport, went to the church, preached for 45 minutes, entered the car, turned back, and came back to Lagos. Those in Lagos didn't know he was gone for 3 hours. Please, not everybody is at your level. Stop criticizing. People fly private jets because they are going to private places and they have private money. They didn't ask you for money. And what you are doing right now is private jet to somebody. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, it's somebody's private jet. One day I was driving. Then my car was still new. Maybe like a year or so. One policeman stopped me. Said, where do you work? He was expect to hear bank or so. I said, no, the car is my own. Eh? Open his mouth. This is your car. I was looking at him like, what is the problem? Eh? He opened his mouth like, you bought this car? He did not know individuals could buy cars brand new. What I'm trying to say is that your car is somebody's private jet. So, listen. And with God, money is nothing. Money is a tool. What did I call it? A tool. So as somebody is using a big hammer, another person is using a small screwdriver like a watch repairer. A small car is a small screwdriver. A private jet is a big hammer. As far as God is concerned, both of them are what? Tools. The small screwdriver for a little wristwatch to open it and change the battery. The big hammer to nail concrete nail into the wall. The amount of steel in the small screwdriver is tiny. The amount of steel in the big hammer is big. But if the steel inside that one is not big, we will never be able to drive nail into any place. Some people now say, why is he using so much steel? After I'm doing my work with only a small screwdriver. But you are repairing these watches, you are not a carpenter. The carpenter needs a big Of course, when it now comes to breaking rocks, the man needs a sledgehammer using 1,000 times the amount of steel they used to make your own small screwdriver. The man carries it, wham! Because if he doesn't do that, he can't break that concrete. Prosperity is having all that you need to completely fulfill the will of God in your life. And number two, enjoy doing it. I was listening to the Ravi Zacharias. Ravi Zacharias said he spends 2/3 of his life flying. Because today he may be preaching in Australia. The next day he's preaching in London. The day after that is in Johannesburg. The one after that is somewhere in Copenhagen. After that he's going to Houston. That's how his calendar is. So he said, 2/3 of my life I'm flying. For that reason, if you've ever flown for 10 hours, you know people like that cannot fly sitting in economy seat. You know economy class? You sit down like this. When you want to sleep, you lean your seat small. If he does like that, he'll die after 1 year. He will die, I'm not kidding. He will have deep brain thrombosis and die. A flight ticket from Lagos to New York and back, off-peak season, is about $1,500. If he decides to fly first class, it's $6,000. But if he doesn't fly $6,000, he will die at the end of 1 year. For that reason, that man has to fly expensive all the time. It's not a private jet, he uses commercial jets. But he has to fly expensive all the time because it is the only way he will live. Prosperity is having enough to do the will of God in your life and making it comfortable while you are doing it. It is not the will of God that you must be suffering because you are preaching. Somebody said to me, what's a preacher doing with the Mercedes-Benz? I said, madam, what are you doing with the Mercedes-Benz? He said, they are working for God. I said, who are you working for? I'm working for myself. I said, madam, you talk that you go to hellfire. You cannot tell me you are working for yourself because you're a Christian. The preacher is working for God. We are all working for God. And like I said, it's also the ability to help other people do the will of God. That's why that brother said, look, as long as this man is preaching and I'm watching, he must never go hungry. Some will say, this man is preaching. We are driving cars here. He's trekking there. That's why I told the story yesterday. A man went back home, sold his car, brought the money. He's a white man. And bought motorbikes so that the preachers going to the rural areas will have motorbikes to go. If he too had only one motorbike, what would he do? There's nothing to sell. For that reason, we see that, you know, that it's the worldly system of prosperity that makes it a bad gospel. The true gospel of Jesus is that you need to have more than you require. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me read this scripture. It's part of the definition. It starts from verse 10. It said, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched, he says. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. Let me read that from the Amplified Bible. Verse 11. It said, thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way, so that you can be generous. And your generosity, you understand, is producing forth thanksgiving to God. What am I saying? You see that Paul explained here that the reason why you need to be enriched in all things is so that you can be what? Generous. You know one thing that Paul said about work, which I also, if I remember, I will mention something about it. People look at this as if work is a curse. Working is not a curse. Working, God planned that Adam should work. Working has never been a curse. And Paul said that every man that's not working should go and find something to do. What was the purpose? He said, so that he will be able to have to share with those who do not have. Paul said the reason why every man should work, do something productive, is so that they will be able to have to share. With God, sharing is a primary focus when it comes to abundance in the life of a believer. He said, be fruitful and multiply. we Christians must be fruitful. We must be fruitful. I hate it when churches want to raise money and they invite unbelievers. Anytime you invite unbelievers, it should be to preach the gospel. It should be to preach the gospel to them. We don't need anything that they are holding. It is to preach the gospel. Why should the church want to raise money? They are sending out cards to Alhaji. Okay, forget Alhaji now. To a man who you know is not a Christian. Harvest. He should come and you know this man is a thief. You know he has a wife in Nigeria. One is hiding in Ghana. And three girlfriends in the town. And you are giving him a card. The only card he should receive is card to come and give your life to Christ. And repent of all your urukurukus and your iniquity. But why do we do that? We preach to ourselves, first of all, that poverty is righteousness. Then when we need money, we go to the unrighteous to collect money. That is hypocrisy. It's self-deception. Listen, poverty in the scriptures have never been a sign of righteousness. It has only been a sign of I don't have. And that's why the Bible says when it comes to poverty, we are to endure it. It's endurance. We take a few examples. Say John the Baptist. John the Baptist was in the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey. Number one, John the Baptist was not complaining. He did not need more than locusts and wild honey. But that's not even the issue. Number two, Jesus did not go that way. Jesus said, leave John the Baptist alone. If you want to eat locusts and wild honey, it's his problem. As for the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died, the dress he was wearing, it was not a cloak of poverty. Because if he was when they killed John the Baptist, you didn't hear that anybody was casting lots to collect his goat skin. They carried the goat skin, threw him for one side. When it was Jesus Christ's turn, the soldier said, who will get this dress? And they were not trying to tap anointing. They wanted to wait. What's my explanation? Let's not glorify poverty while begging unbelievers for money. No. Our God can supply all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He can. We just have to believe the right things. That's what I'm trying to say. We Christians understand. We are not like the world. We are not amassing wealth. Listen, what is important? I like this man, Peter Daniel. He said something. After God blessed him, he said one of the things, there are two things he's looking for, he's trying to do in life. One, he wants to make an impact in this life that will last at least 300 years if Jesus does not come back. He said, number two, I want to see how much money one person can give out in a lifetime. He said one time, the man did it one way. He looked for all the money he had, he gave it out. Any money he had, he gave. Then finally, he did one funny thing. It's not right to do, but it was an interesting thing he did. He went and borrowed money using his company as collateral so he can give it out. He kept on giving out money. They said, why? He said, I want to see how much a man can give out self before he dies. For that reason, you may not find him on the list of the richest people on the earth. But his life is committed to giving. That's a true Christian rich man. I'm defining prosperity. Now let me go to the next point. I've already been saying it all the while anyway. And that's to emphasize the fact that, but that's what I began to say now. So let's not think that prosperity is against the gospel of God. It's not. It is the will of God. The Bible says he delights in the prosperity of his servant. I just read just here, he said just now, God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you have all sufficiency in all things. Then you have more than all sufficiency so you can be generous. That's God's will. That is God's will. That is God's will. One of the things I was sharing with my wife the other day, that the next level of things we'll teach our children is that when you go to school, if your son says, what do I need to go to school? If he says he needs 100 naira to go to school, I told my wife, after a while, you give him 200 and explain to him this extra 100 naira is so that you can help anybody in your class that needs to buy lunch and he doesn't have money. That's part of teaching. I told you before, let me just share with us briefly. In my house, we don't give children, you know, every Sunday I'm going to church, every child, 20 naira, you know? No, the way we do children for offering. So that when they say offering, all the children will queue up. Children offering basket is always full of 20, 20 naira, 10, 10 naira, 5, 5 naira. Why? Because the parents think they are teaching the children how to give. So they always give offering in church. But I always say, it's a very bad thing you are doing. You are teaching the children how to be stingy towards God, towards the gospel. Because when you give them 20 naira to put in the offering basket, they get used to 20 naira for offering. Because they've seen you go to shops and you buy them ice cream for 500 naira. Then you give them 20 naira for offering. So in their mind, 500 naira for ice cream, 220 naira for offering. You've taught them a very bad thing you don't know. So what my wife does is that she doesn't give all the children money. No. She'll give the senior one money, can give him 1,000 naira, put it in an envelope and say, this is your offering. When you get to children's church, give it to your uncle that this is our offering. The concept is the 1,000 naira. So they get used to the fact that 1,000 naira goes to offering basket. So when the other ones see it, we refuse to print in their minds 50 naira, 10 naira for offering. No. What is printed in my children's mind is that 1,000 naira is offering money. So it's the largest note in Nigeria as of today. So that is the only thing they have ever handed down as offering. Or sometimes two, you know, multiple, either 500 or 1,000, several. And say, sometimes my wife will say, hey, I've not given these children money for some time. She'll package the money, put it in an envelope, make sure that they see it, and say, give your uncle, and say, this is your offering for today. So if you tell my children as they are growing up to give offering, if somebody brought out 20 naira, they'll be wondering, like, why is he giving 20 naira? Is that allowed for offering? Because their minds, they have never seen it. Say, deliberate, we did it to them deliberately. You know, children watch, you don't know. One day, when we started doing video recording for in the Kingdom World Ministries, that was when I started wearing suits to preach. Before, I used to dress like this. Sometimes just wear, I dress neatly, but maybe a top, in a print top and trousers, stuff like that. Then once I started doing video, we now put our program on television, I started wearing a suit to preach. So one Saturday, I dressed up, I was going out. So my daughter was small, then she said, Daddy, where are you going? I said, I'm going for Bible study. You know what she said to me? But this is not Bible study dress. She was used to me wearing suit when I'm going to work. I only wear a suit when I'm going to work, you know, stuff like that. But that was when I started doing video recording, so we had to put our program on TV, so we had to dress neatly for TV's sake. And I wore a suit. The girl said, where are you going? She was very small. How old is she now? She's 8 now, maybe 9. And this was years ago, at least 5 years ago. He said, but this is not Bible study dress. And I said to her, don't worry, this is not Bible study dress. Don't worry. So children are watching. That is why we refuse to let them see 20, 20 naira going into offering basket. Prosperity is what I'm discussing. It is the will of God for you to have enough to meet your needs, do the will of God in your life, enjoy doing the will of God, and help other people do the same. Next point I should make, please, is to quickly debunk some things that people practice these days. And that's the first. Okay, you know, I said I'll talk about divine thoughts of prosperity. Let me quickly explain something here. Poverty is a curse. Somebody say amen. My emphasis is that it has been broken in Christ Jesus. All the curses in your life have been broken in Christ Jesus. Amen. There is no ancestral curse that can hold you down. Amen. Say amen, please. Amen. You don't need any special breaking of ancestral curses. It has been broken. Amen. Please, you must understand this. No matter your experiences, the word of God cannot be subverted. One of our brothers said something the other day. He's a faith preacher. He said after he got married, his first child was born after 10 years. How many years did I say? 10. Many of us who have been married know that is a long time. It's not a short time, is it? I read his testimony last week where something led to it. We're discussing in our chat group. He's a senior brother in the faith. When we're in school, he used to preach faith, and he still preaches faith till now. He said something. Which is why I'm telling the story. He said the thought came to his mind, because you hear it around. There is an ancestral curse. It's a curse in the family. Do you know why? Because his senior brother, the same thing happened. That one was married, didn't have a child. I think he had an uncle, the same thing. So he told himself, the thought that came to his mind is an ancestral curse. That's why he was telling the story. He said, I refused to believe it. He said, because the Bible says clearly that in Christ Jesus, all my curses have been broken. He said, he took him time, but he refused to accept it. He fought it and said, no, in Christ Jesus, I have been set free. It may have taken him time, but he stood there and said, don't deceive me. And that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to deceive people. Another one brother, a faith preacher, told her the same thing. He said, him, it took him 5 years. But he said, listen, I will refuse to accept the testimony that, you know, the lies people tell. I hold on to the word of God. I ask for whatever I want. In the name of Jesus, I receive it. And he told his wife, we have received it in Jesus' name. The woman said, yes, all right. Let's forget it. It's no longer a prayer point. Let's start praying for other people. In the 5th year, the woman conceived and gave birth. Let nobody deceive you that you are under an ancestral curse. There is no, unless you have not believed, if you are an unbeliever, enjoy your ancestral curse, your family curse, the black man's curse, the problem curse, the society curse, village curse, is a portion of the unbeliever. To the unbeliever has been given the sufferings, you understand, of this of the devil. The devil is riding over his head. But Jesus Christ died so that they may not perish. He that does not believe is the one that's condemned already. If you have believed, however, you are not condemned. You now say, but I started 3 businesses and they failed. Like I said yesterday, the righteous man falls how many times?
7 times.
It is not the cursed man falls 7 times. No. The righteous man can fall 7 times. So the first thing I want to emphasize to us today is, Jesus is the reason why you can prosper. Somebody say amen. Paul said it to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In verse 9, he says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, even though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That is the grace of Jesus. The next point I want to quickly make, this one, the reason why you will prosper, you know, the first thing I said is that one, all your curses have been broken. Amen?
Amen?
Let me just quickly drop this. The only curses that Christians walk in is the one they now use their hands to buy. What do I mean? For example, ignorance is a curse. My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. That's why we gather like this to hear the word of God. If you believe wrongly, Satan will take advantage of you. If you believe that poverty and holiness are the same things, you will be enjoying your poverty. But if you understand that it's not true, that God can bless you and you will still be holy and righteous and you have abundance, then that will be your portion. Don't ever forget that. All right? Now, having said that, I said Jesus broke the curse. The second thing I want to quickly say is that when we're talking about spiritual blessings, Paul said in that Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, he said that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What am I trying to say? That faith, that sacrifice of Jesus has already conferred the blessing upon you. I'm saying something here. You see it. Christians think, and this is wrong. I'll close in a short while so we can take our break and then I'll continue this in the evening. Christians erroneously think that the reason God will prosper them is because they are giving. For that reason, when they want to pray for prosperity, they say, God, you know I have given. I have been a faithful tither. Just by the way, the New Testament tither is a man who continuously gives generously. A true believer does not know how to calculate 10%. It's a difficult job. He can give 100% of his income if God requires it. And if he's a regular giver, he will discover that 10% is small. There are so many things in this life to do. By the time you give to your church, you give to a minister of the gospel, you give to help the poor, you give to honor people, a son honors a father. By the time you do like that, if you're an average income earner, half of your salary has gone. At least half. Christians think a lot of times, that's what they're taught, that I will prosper because I'm giving. So when they want to go and pray, they start quoting for God what they have given. Let me say to you again today, please don't do it again. You are playing into the hands of the devil when you do that. When God wants to bless you, he looks at just one thing. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your faith, of course, in it. If you come to God and say, God, you know I have given, so you will give back to me. Satan will come and stand beside you. It's in the scriptures like that. It's an accuser of the brethren. He will stand and say, but Lord, the other time when that beggar asked her for something, she did not give. The other time when the neighbor's child was going to school and they couldn't pay wife, did she answer? No. He said, so what is he talking about? When you wait, you have become subject to the accusation of the devil. So Satan will say, for the thing, you know, after she's obeying the word of God, Jesus said, give to all that ask of thee. Is that not what Jesus said? That is called an accuser of the brethren. You subject yourself to accusation when you start saying, God, I have done this, so you will do for me. But when we want to pray, you know what we do? We go to God and say, Lord, I have come in the name of Jesus, who has done everything that you may give to me. According to your word, this is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, so that I, through his poverty, might become rich. Your word says, the Lord is my shepherd. For that reason, I will not lack. I shall not want. That is all the reasons we pray. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. The doing of good works is just the natural consequences of being a believer. If you are not doing good works, your faith is doubtful. That's all. But you don't go to God and use that one and say, God, because, you know, so Christians do it. Say, this is my seed. That's the one that makes me laugh most. A man needs a car. He carries money to church and says, it's a seed for my car. It's not a seed for your car. The seed is the word of God. The money you brought to church is just a gift to the work of God. The seed for your car is what? The word of God. He said, the seed is the word of God. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. James said, you have not because you ask not. He said, let him ask in faith. Let him ask with the right motive. That's how we receive from God. I discussed that in my book, So Who Will Pay For This. I encourage every Christian to read that book, So Who Will Pay For This. It's a book that I try to teach Christians how to work financially for God without trying to use it as corner way of getting back from him. It's a privilege to work with God. You know that? It's a privilege to work with God. It's something we feel grateful to be able to do, not something we used to try and grab from him back. Say, Lord, you mean you allowed me to give towards this work of the gospel? This is Jesus that saved me, so he can save somebody else by the preaching of the gospel. It's a privilege. After all, there's nothing you have that you did not receive. So why are you pretending like you did not receive it? Everything we get from God is what? Free. It's free from our part, but Jesus paid for everything. That's one thing we must get in our minds as I close this morning. The reason I will prosper is because Jesus died for me. It's not because of my works, it's because Jesus died for me. He made me a child of God. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He gave them the power to become children of God. And children receive things because of the love of the Father, not because of what they did for him. What have I done today? One, I have defined for us what prosperity is again. And number two, I've established a number of points that all the curses in our lives have been broken and poverty is a curse. And number three, that we will receive our abundance from God, not because of what we have done, but because of what? The grace of Christ Jesus. And the next one we're going to go into when we come back later is to explain the fact that having received this grace, we have the Spirit of Christ. I will now go into it to explain how Christians should think, the divine thought processes underlying prosperity. Even though I've mentioned them here and there, for example, I've explained in that definition, I said a lot of things. But I want us to go ahead and explain how it comes. What is the role of our works. How do we use our gifts? And of course, I want to explain what I call the ministry of giving, the giving ministry. It's important we understand it. These are the things I will go into later, talking about this divine thoughts concerning the matter of prosperity. I've already established the fact that it is the will of God. Is anybody still in doubt? No, I don't think anybody is still in doubt. Then for us, we will now see how the world gives and how we, as Christians, how we receive things from God and how we handle our resources. Yesterday, I began to talk about the divine principles underlying business. I will develop them further. Let us pray. Let us give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank Him for the fact that in Christ Jesus, you have been made to prosper. The curses have been broken. Let us thank Him. Once again, let's commit our lives to Him. Say, Father, thank you. I want to walk in this grace. I commit my life to grace, to walking in grace, so that you will, through me, bless this earth. In the name of Jesus Christ.